Welcome to 216, a link to the past randomizer podcast. I'm your host, Free Agent, back for another excellent show. Today on the show, I've got Norsk Maddie. Talk a lot of Washington State Husky football. It's going to happen because they're in the national championship, and we're both really excited about it. So just a warning, lots of Husky football talk in our conversation. The 216 Co-op Cross Keys tournament has started. We're in the middle of week one. We've had about half of the matchups already been raced, so on a good pace. A few more asyncs than I thought there would be, but that's the nature of asyncs. If they're available, people are going to take advantage of it. So one, I want to shout out Claire Mouse. She's done an excellent job with not only helping me with this tournament, but she's brought in her bots. The bot of the door is one of them. It's been super helpful. She's been super helpful, and I couldn't have been doing all of this without her. Hopefully everyone's having a good time. You know, there's no restream, so it's hard to like see what's going on. But luckily in the events tab of the 216 Discord, you can see all of the matches with links to the multis. So you can watch them and follow them along. And there's been some really interesting races so far. You know, right out of the gate, it gave us some really, really spicy matchups. Lynn and Wallkicks got paired up against Hitsu and Thalane, and Hitsu and Thalane won. Andy and Solsky are racing right now against DazeCloud and Will WC. That's a spicy matchup. I got matched up against Gamachu, and we lost that one, unfortunately. But Moogle and I are having a good time. We've been proving a lot since last week. We've done quite a few asyncs, and I've gotten our times way down, and our communication's been really good. I'm just having so much fun with Co-op Cross Keys. I hope everyone else is as well. The tournament seems to be going pretty well. I hope everyone's enjoying it. I know there's other tournaments going on. Animizer might be starting. I know the Avian Art stuff is happening right now. Go Mode will probably be a better place to get the roundup of all the different tournaments that are happening. But if I see anything or anything noteworthy, I'll drop a line here on the show. Mostly we'll just be covering the Co-op Cross Keys tournament because it's happening here. Last week was a really long episode. Had a lot to catch up with you know, being off for a few weeks. So not going to take up too much time. I do want to talk about Baldur's Gate 3 because, you know, it won Game of the Year at the Video Game Awards, and a lot of publications kind of gave it the Game of the Year award. I'm not qualified enough to like say it's the Game of the Year because, frankly, as I've looked back on like the amount of gaming that I do, my gaming is pretty limited to like Mario and Zelda. I play most of the Mario games and most of the Zelda games. And I'd branch out here and there and I'll dip my toe in like Magic the Gathering or play a little Snap. I purchased Tunic and I still haven't played it. I'm not a well-rounded gamer. Let's just say that. I know about a lot of games. I watch other streamers play some games. I never played any like the Dark Soul games. I never played like Elden Ring. I played a couple of shooters way back in the day, but even that is pretty limited. So like my scope of like what's good and what's not good is pretty limited. I feel like when I was younger, I was playing a lot more, would branch into like Resident Evil and whatever. I was playing a lot more. My field of view is way more narrow. So it's hard to me to say like, yes, Baldur's Gate 3 was the best game of the year because I didn't play Spider-Man. That was supposed to be really good. Alan Wake, I never even heard of. And I think like Time Magazine gave it the Game of the Year. That's supposed to be pretty good. Tears of the Kingdom came out and super hyped for it. And I still really enjoyed it. But I think my opinion of Tears of the Kingdom is that it's not as good as Breath of the Wild. I spent a lot more time in Breath of the Wild, even though there's not as much stuff to do. I think Tears is good. I think it's really, really good. And I think what Nintendo built and the fact that you can do all the things that you can do in Tears of the Kingdom, it was pretty impressive. The story's okay, and you know, being back in that world was really good. I think I was overly excited for that game, and I don't think it quite met the expectations. I think it's great. I don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I think Breath of the Wild is better. So Tears of the Kingdom wasn't even like my favorite game of the last year. It was like Baldur's Gate by a long shot, and I have spent so many hours playing Baldur's Gate. I got all the Steam achievements in the game. I think there's 54 of them, including beating the game in Honor Mode, which is that newest mode that they introduced just a month back or so. That was extra difficult, and you couldn't reload old saves, so there's no like save scumming. If something failed, you couldn't reload. If your party died, you couldn't reload. Your game is just over. You could continue on, but it wouldn't be considered honor mode anymore, or just be considered custom. So I finished that. I got really good at the game as far as like combat goes and like building a party. And honestly, it was a game that I didn't know that I would even like. I thought it looked interesting when I saw that it just like launched, but I had no connections to D&D. I had no connections to CRPGs. My knowledge of RPGs is just really, really shallow. I played Final Fantasy IV just recently, and I had a good time with that, with the exception of the final boss. Super Mario RPG I got for Christmas and have played maybe like 20 minutes of. I played the old Super Mario RPG way back in the day. I just haven't played a lot of RPGs, and it was never until like WoW or any of the games that were leveling up or building your own characters and stuff. And so it was a completely new experience for me. And what Baldur's Gate did was just blow me away. The story, the options, I'm a big fan of the combat, the strategy, all of it is just, it's just so massive and something that I had no idea that I even knew I would like and have completely fallen in love with it. So I've played through 5 times. The first time was tough because I was completely new to it. And so I died a lot. It was on the normal mode. There were so many things I just didn't know that you could do. The second time I played it again and I was more familiar with how to play it. And so it went a little bit different. The third time I played it was with the Dark Urge character. So that was completely new. It was hard for me because I like being the good guy. I don't like being evil. And so it was hard for me to make evil decisions. But by the end I was able to swing it, but it honestly like challenged me to be evil and to kill people that didn't deserve it or do things that were just straight awful. The fourth time was like a 1.5 because I played through trying to get all the achievements, waiting for honor mode to update because I didn't have it available on the Mac. I didn't finish it. And then the honor mode was made available and I played through from the beginning on honor mode and beat that. It's been super fun. It's just been awesome. I want to keep playing, but I don't really know what to do because I've literally done everything through my multiple playthroughs and there's a lot to do. So there's things that you can miss. There's a couple of things that I've might have missed, but I've played so much of it that it's hard to like say that I've missed anything. I still want to play though. The game is just so addicting and so much fun. I'm thinking about trying to do like a solo run in honor mode, though I don't think I'm good enough to do a solo run. I was thinking of maybe doing like a Batman and Robin where I take like a two different players or two different characters and try to do a run with only two in my party. I don't know. Looking for some challenges or maybe to mix it up or maybe take a break. I'm not sure. All I know is that the game is amazing. I've loved it all the way through and definitely game of the year for me and one of my favorite games in the last, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. So big fan of Baldur's Gate 3. All right, let's get to the show with Norse Maddie. We pick up the conversation talking about the Huskies. So if that's not quite clear, I'm making it clear here. The Sugar Bowl just had happened. And so we pick up the conversation talking about that Sugar Bowl and the Huskies winning that game and going on to the national championship, which is happening if you're listening to this the day this comes out. So going to be rooting for the Huskies with Norsk Maddie. Great conversation. I had a blast talking with Norsk Maddie. So let's get to it. Here it is. So running back goes down and stops the clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what were your thoughts? Like, change the rule? Like, the rules should be changed, right?
Absolutely change the rule. Like, you can't have the offensive player get hurt and that cost the offensive team. I mean,
right. Yeah. Like, you would never give the team a timeout. Like, if the defense player got hurt, right? It wouldn't stop the clock. So, why would it stop the clock for the offensive player, right?
Exactly. And I think it encourages defenses to intentionally injure players, maybe. Like,
I don't know, man. How much are you sweating in that final drive?
Because I mean, incredibly, because I had kind of thought it was over. I mean,
they could have put it away so many different times, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
They could have gone up by a touchdown, like two touchdowns, or like it was like three scores or something like that. And they just can never kind of pull the trigger. And it just kind of kept Texas in it. And then the final 2 minutes, I was pacing my house.
Yeah. I think I wore a small groove into my wood floor. but I kind of like I mean, the Huskies never put anyone away this year. They just, they refuse. No. They just, every time they get the ball and they're up by like 7 or 10 and you're like, one more touchdown and this game is all but over. And they just, they will never do it. But then when their back's against the wall, they get that score or the defense comes up with some sort of miracle stop in the last minute and they just win. I mean, 10 straight wins by 10 or less points. And I believe all but one of them were within 7 at the end. So
it's
living on a knife's edge and they managed to come through every single time.
Yeah. So Washington versus Texas, it's team winner goes to the finals and to the national championship. And, Huskies have had such a good season and Penix has had such a good season, didn't get the Heisman. And it was pretty obvious why he didn't get the Heisman, because you see all these like East Coast writers and voters going like, oh, this Penix guy is actually pretty good, huh?
You never watched him? Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, it makes sense why he doesn't get the Heisman. But, it was a really fun game. They've been really, really good all season. And then that final minute, though, like I text my friend, because we text back and forth while we're watching the game. I'm like, if the Huskies lose, I'm just never watching football again. Like, this is just the worst feeling, because it really felt like, they're up 2 scores and then it just felt like, oh my gosh, they're gonna blow it. And, they get that play that was like 5 seconds left off, Texas does, right down by like 12-yard line or whatever. And the guy breaks through and comes in to sack him and he throws the ball away. I'm like, is that the game? Is that the game? Yeah. And I'm like, nope, 1 second left. I was like, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know if you have any Nebraska fans that will listen to this, but I think it was like 12 years ago, Nebraska was set to win against Texas on a similar type of play, but they gave 1 second back on the clock for Texas to kick a game-winning field goal. And I know that there are Nebraska people thinking about that at that moment.
That sucked. It was the right call. Like, here's the thing. It's like I give the refs so much crap when I'm watching football, because most of the time they're trash. The refs actually were really good this game. It felt like all the right calls. Didn't feel like anything went wrong. So it's easy to like pile on when they're bad, but they actually were pretty good today.
I mean, there was 1 second left. So
the
game would have been wrong. So
It was legit. Yeah. But they make the play at the end, they win, and national championship, man. When this episode comes out, we'll be we'll be sweating.
I'll be super sweaty. I will be attending personally.
Oh, you're going down to Houston, right?
My friend and I that I have season tickets with to the Huskies, we are going to be there, and either we're going to be very happy or we're going to be like, oh no.
Yeah, I think you have to be happy regardless, right? Like,
yeah,
making the national championship is not something that happens often, right? Like the last national championship they won was, 91 or something like that. Yeah. So it's been a minute.
And I mean, 91's the only real one. I think that they've claimed one from 1960 or 1961 that was based on some poll whose name I can't even remember. I don't know. But I mean, I didn't even think that they would really ever be in this position. Because that's just like not the way that major college football has gone. And it's just been a really fun time, and looking forward to going there and cheering them on.
Did you think about going to New Orleans?
I did, but we thought that we only have the budget for one trip. We were like, okay, so if we go to the Sugar Bowl and they lose, then that's not great. And if they win, then, so I think we thought like either way we would have preferred that we go to Houston or nothing. So
That's awesome. That's I'm super excited for you. So are you an alum, right? You actually went to UW?
I did, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Followed in family footsteps. My dad went there and my grandpa got a graduate degree from the University of Washington.
Oh, that's awesome. So we were chatting a bunch at SGL and I found out that you're from the area. So you grew up in Washington then?
Yeah. I've lived in the Seattle area my whole life. I actually didn't live in the city proper until I was like 20, 21 or something like that. But
adjacent,
like in various cities all around. And
like King County-ish areas, right?
King County, Snohomish County, all those sort of things. And I've never left for more than like, I think 2 weeks is the longest I've ever been on a trip somewhere else. So, this is my area. This is my life.
That's awesome. That was so cool. Like, I had no idea that you were from the area. I grew up in Tacoma. I'm on the east side of the of the state now, but our chances to chat at SGO were really cool. Even the fact that we were on the same flight home, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we got to hang out and chat, waiting for the plane and stuff at like butt o'clock. But, that was so early. That was such a mistake going yeah. home that early, but it was the options.
I knew you were from the area. I didn't know you were, big in the football either. But with you, I was wearing my, Washington sweatshirt, most of the time I was there, cause it's the only like warm, outfit I had. And I think that's what kind of started the conversation we had.
You don't see a lot of people in the purple and gold, you know.
No, especially not in the Washington DC Virginia right. area.
totally. Tell me about your experience at SGO. How was your experience at this last Speed Gaming Live? Was that your first time going?
No, I went last year. That was my first time, I was a lot more comfortable coming this time because I knew quite a few more people than I did mm-hmm. last year. And so I knew I'd have people to talk to and hang out with a little bit, and then, you know, get to try to meet new people at the same time. Last year was incredibly anxious going in because I'm going to know like no one here, maybe like three or four people I interact with online. But other than that, and I'm like, I don't know if they're going to know who I am. And so like it turned out really good. I turned out I had a good time and met a lot of people and had a lot of fun. But I was super nervous going into it. And so this year I was a lot less nervous and it was a lot nicer feeling going in and feeling more comfortable.
That's a great segue because, you know, in the last podcast, I'm not sure if you listened to it, but I did talk a little bit about my experience with SGO and I felt a little, I don't know, I felt a little lonely. And I think a lot of that comes from it being my first time mm-hmm. and also a little bit of like social anxiety of like, you know, who wants to hang out with me is what goes on in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as I say it out loud, it kind of sounds silly, but that's, you know, that's how my dumb brain mm-hmm. works. And so there's a lot of times where I'm just kind of like either by myself or I'm just like, I guess I'll just go back to the hotel room. But I'm fine. It's kind of common for everyone's kind of first trip.
Yeah. No. And I listened to your a little monologue about it and thought like, well, this is, you know, sounds very familiar to what I feel sometimes because it's like I really have to feel like I'm invited or welcomed to join in to a lot of things. I have a really tough time putting myself out there and I'm much better now than I used to be. I feel like a lot of my college experience was worse than it could have been because I was such a wallflower, didn't talk to anyone, never did anything, and just came out of it. I don't have any friends from college like at all.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends from high school, middle school. Mm-hmm. I don't have any friends from college.
Yeah.
Really feels like a really missed opportunity. And from that, from that experience, I kind of decided to try to be a little bit more outgoing. And it's not like I'm exactly, you know, going to be like Carrot Top out there or anything like that. But I try to talk to people, and if they are interested, then, you know, whatever, I'll move on. But sometimes you talk to enough people and eventually you can find some people that you kind of have like some things in common with or just kind of vibe with a little bit. And I think it was like last year, Ninjembro and Soul Last Summer came just for like one night. Mm-hmm. And they just were kind of like, hey, does anyone want to, you know, go to dinner with us or whatever? And I was like, sure. I hadn't really ever interacted with either of them at all. But I was just didn't have anything to do that night and was staring at like down the barrel of like, I'm going to be spending this night alone. So, So I just, I said, sure, let's come or let's go. We went to a sushi place. It was great, a great time. And then they came to SGL this past year, we got together, we did sushi place again, it's just like putting yourself out there a little bit.
It's just a little bit, right? It doesn't have to be like a little bit,
because I definitely did do it a ton.
Sure, but I don't think it takes a ton to do. You know, this is me like convincing myself like it's gonna be okay. You know what I mean? Just putting yourself out a little bit, because I feel again that very similar to you on your first trip. It's like, I don't know, does anybody want to hang out with me? It's like, who cares? Just go and have fun. And like the best time I had was like going out to eat with everyone and, you know, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
And meeting you was great because I felt like, man, we had like the super instant connection. Because not every, just because we're from Washington doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to immediately click, but definitely having that, you know, similar interests, especially when it comes to the Huskies and stuff.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's so funny you say that because when I was first introduced to you at SGL, I was like thinking, why would Fury want to talk to me? Fury probably knows like everyone else here. He's got the podcast. He's been admin for the league, creator of the league, all that sort of thing. And so it's funny to hear you say the same thing.
I think people just assume like I'm going to be like come up and be like, hey, everybody, let's party. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my personality at all. So I've done stuff and I guess my name is known from doing those things, but I'm definitely more along the lines of like, do people actually like me? You know, I put out the podcast. I'm like, does anybody listen? You know what I mean? Like, I hope people listen. When I created a league, I hope people play. You know, I did this mm-hmm. Cross-Keys tournament. Like, hope people join, but never have any faith in myself. But it felt like you had a good time this year at SGL. Did you enter the tournament?
I did. Yeah.
How'd that go?
I mean, it went pretty well. I had a group with Jem and Werfchig and Telethar.
Jeez.
And didn't win any of those games.
That's a tough bracket, man. That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like pretty good. I think I was dropping into Ganon or at Agatou when I was playing Jem and Telethar. Werfchig was a little bit more ahead of me. But they weren't like humongous blowouts, which was, you know, this is all mm-hmm. I was, could really, you know, hope for. And I think it was a fun experience. I had the same experience last year, losing quite a bit. Just getting to talk with people live in person about the seed was really fun for me. I say this, I've said this, a lot of people, you know, have said this, but it's so much harder for people to be really salty after losing when you're in person.
Like, oh, I did it. I can be so. But it definitely is harder. It definitely is harder for sure.
Well, because
you don't want to rub it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it tries to have a good time, honestly. But I can understand, like, if you're not having fun, you don't want to play anymore. Like, and I think that there's a way to have good time at SGL without playing in the tournament or doing well in the tournament. In fact, I think most people prefer the non-game moments of the event.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. I think dinners and food is like a real common denominator with everyone, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I go too far in the tournament, I might miss out on like some of the dinners and the drinking at the fire at night sort of thing. And you know, I don't know if it'd be as fun.
Yeah. Totally. Did you grow up playing video games? I know, you know, like I'm guessing we're close to the same age. I think maybe a little bit younger or not. But did you grow up playing like the NES and the SNES?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very close to 40. So, and I did grow up. So we got the NES and the SNES a little late in its life cycles. That's just kind of the way it worked out. I actually, my first gaming experience is apparently an Atari. I do not remember this. I don't know if you've ever seen Atari football. It is six Space Invaders with a ball. It's really bad. I do remember the Tandy 1000, I think it was, we had a PC, kind of like a cheaper version of an IBM PC from back in the 80s. And we got like all this. I still remember, like, you go through these shareware catalogs where just companies or random people would make a game and offer it on a floppy disk. And you'd send a mail order in and they'd send you the floppy disk and you could play games of extremely varying quality. I think we had the original Commander Keen, which is that game that was the first game made by what eventually became id Software that made Doom and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But eventually we did get a NES, and you know, it had the usuals, the Marios. I never actually played Zelda 1.
Haven't played it, or
no, I still haven't played it.
Wow. Actually. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I should get around to that one day. But my all-time favorite game is actually the game that really got me into football, which is Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yes. It's the only actual SNES cart that I have, because I have a Super NT, and I've got the SNES, so I can just put whatever games on there. But I bought Tecmo Super Bowl, but Tecmo Bowl, both of them were so vital to my growing up life.
Yes, and I liked Tecmo Super Bowl a lot more largely because it had the Seahawks.
Which
Tecmo Bowl does not. It only has like 12 teams. And Bo Jackson is great in both.
Bo Jackson. Yep. I was just going to mention Bo Jackson. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And actually, Tecmo Super Bowl was the first game that I played competitively online.
Okay. Explain.
So this was actually a long time ago. I was a teenager. I was living at home playing on my, playing my computer. And
sure.
This was before high speed internet. You're playing on like DSL lines.
Okay.
And but people would make leagues, and there's extremely dedicated modding community for Tecmo Super Bowl, and they're really good at making changes to the game. Like they've done stuff like they put 2-point conversions into the game. They've added every NFL team. They've done a college version. They've even like experimented with adding penalties, but they got rid of that. No one wanted that. But they could basically, you could draft a team based on the players that exist in the game. Everyone could draft them all, get their team, and then you play a regular season. You get put into a division and play out the regular season, and then they'd have a playoffs and everything.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was really not good at it because it's very difficult. It was very difficult in the days of like, there's extreme input lag back then. Like we're talking almost a second between when you hit the direction and when it actually registers what happens.
Yeah.
Very difficult to play like a game like that, but that's the only way we could do it. So that's the way we did it. And I believe it's actually still active, even though I did that like over 20 years ago.
Wow. That is awesome. I know the modding community is pretty big, because I know that there's modern rosters. Like you can.
Yes.
Actually get updated logos and current rosters and stuff like that. So I messed around a little bit with that, but man, whew, that brings me way back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great. And so we actually didn't get the Super Nintendo for a while because we were a Sega Genesis family.
Oh, okay.
And I got sucked into the, Sonic's so cool.
Sure. Gotta go fast, man.
Yeah. Go fast. And, so we had that, and actually I enjoyed the sports games on the Sega more than I did the Super Nintendo. Just the versions. We had Tecmo Super Bowl 3, which is the last
played game. That one.
Yeah, it's a pretty obscure version. I don't think that it did very well, but I also think it was the last Tecmo Super Bowl. But we eventually got the SNES.
What other sports games were you playing? Like hockey feels like a classic for. We didn't have a hockey team until recently, at least an NHL team. But like, I remember playing a ton of like Blades of Steel and then a bunch of different NHL games for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I think I had NHL 94.
But
I was never a big hockey person. I did have baseball games. I had a
Ken Griffey Jr.
This is jumping ahead a little bit, but the Griffey baseball game for the N64.
Yeah.
One of the craziest things that I ever did was me and my brother played an entire 162 game season in the summer.
Oh my gosh.
Where he played one team and I played another team. And then we met up in the World Series. And you want to talk about getting salty after losses? I lost to him in the first game of the World Series, and we never played another game because I reacted so badly. Like I could not handle it. It was a bad moment for me.
Man. So you never so he was, I guess, deemed the champion.
He was deemed the champion. Yeah, he won 1-0, and then the World Series got called because the one team forfeited and in a childish rage. That's
hilarious. Are you the older brother or the younger brother?
Older brother, yeah.
Oh no. So you lost your younger brother.
That's part of why I was so mad. It was like I should beat the younger brother at this game.
Yeah. Oh, that is too good.
I had this baseball game for the Game Gear, and I can't remember the name of it. It was a very generic baseball game, no branding or anything like that really, but I would do like seasons on my own where I would keep track of all the stats of all my players. So I like every at bat or pitch or whatever, I would be writing down what happened, and I would have like these tallies of what all the players had done. It was like, it's kind of crazy the sort of thing that I would do as a kid. Like, you have so much time.
Sure.
Like, I could never do that now, but sure. I was on obsessed the game with gear? Stats. Yeah, with on the Game Gear.
So you were burning through batteries then.
Probably. Well, I had to play it plugged in.
Okay.
Because my parents would never have bought me the batteries to be able to play like sure. the 4 hours a day I was doing that.
Sure. Yeah, that's crazy. So it was just generic baseball, though. It wasn't actual real players.
Oh, no, it was a Major League Baseball license.
Oh, okay.
I just can't.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like an EA game or, you know, a 2K game or anything like that. It was just a smaller company that made this game. And it was actually a pretty decent baseball game for the time. But yeah, I actually went to recently find it and, you know, try it out again. And I was like, I mean, this is it. Like, I won't play this now, but it's not like it was a horrible game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So were you a sports fan then growing up?
Yeah.
Or did that come from your parents or your household?
My dad. My mom doesn't care for sports at all, sure. but my dad has always been a big baseball and football fan. We were basketball fans.
Yep.
RIP Sonics. Yeah. And so my dad has definitely, you know, dropped basketball. I kind of follow the NBA a little bit, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as into sports as I used to be, although this Husky season is an exception for sure. Because I was crazy into them when I was, you know, a teenager in my 20s. But one of my earliest memories is of the Rose Bowl in 91 when the Huskies did beat Michigan to win that national championship.
Yeah.
I was 7 at the time, and it was a big deal. Like, you know, for my dad and everything. And so that is kind of what got me started on that and Tecmo Super Bowl is why I like football and why I liked football so much going forward.
Did that translate to the Mariners and the Seahawks too? Or
yeah, it did. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, and there's a time actually where the Mariners were my favorite team. Baseball was my favorite sport.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the mid-90s with Junior and towards the end of when we got A-Rod and Buehner and Edgar and stuff, like, do you remember the 95?
Oh, absolutely.
Mariners? It's it was unlike anything else I've experienced sports-wise, even to this day, even with the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl in 13. It's like the 95 run, and they didn't even win the World Series that year, though, but that run was, it was like, it was electric just everywhere. It was nuts.
It was so crazy that when I was in middle school at the time, and game one of the ALCS after they, you know, won the division series with that kind of crazy, you know, comeback and everything, and people were so excited about the team after everything that happened to all the comebacks, because they had this huge regular season comeback to get into the playoffs even. And game one of the ALCS, they had everyone come into the gym because the game started at like 10 a.m. our time, and everyone just watched the game. We didn't do school that day. We just watched the game. And I'm like, man, I can't believe they did that. Yeah. Like, that's how crazy everyone was about the Mariners that year. And that's the time it was. Yeah.
I mean, we've kind of been blessed. I mean, not like Boston blessed, but we've had some like really good runs with, like, you know, the Mariners in 2001 and the 95 year. And then the 90s were also a really good year for the Sonics with
Kemp and Payton and
Dale Schrempf and everyone. Like, those were, I mean, I remember, I'll never forget losing to Denver in round one as the number one seed. But I mean, there was, you know, playing the Bulls in the finals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've had, you know, that's transitioned into the Seahawks in the 2010s and stuff and Legion of Boom. But man, we've had some good stuff.
Yeah, we try to like get just one team to be good at a time, like so that everyone could focus on that team. Like the Mariners kind of owned the 90s, and the Seahawks have kind of owned the
2000s, like 2005, 2004 to 2015.
Yeah, it's kind of been the Seahawks. And the Huskies like fluctuated between, like, you know, this is their best year. They've had some real down years, like the 0-12 year several years ago. It's like, It just one of you have to do well at a time, so we can focus on you.
We can't do more than one at a time.
No.
We can't have the Mariners and the Seahawks and the Huskies all be good at the same time. But
absolutely not. Not a lot. Yeah.
So it sounds like there was a lot of gaming going on in your house.
Yeah, there was. We were we lived at a very I don't know how to say this, but. Nicely, but my parents were afraid of us leaving the house for anything, basically. So
okay.
we were kind of stuck. We had to stay inside, we would maybe get to go outside in the yard and throw a ball around, but like no roaming. We had a park like across the street from our house, but we couldn't go into it because my parents were afraid of unmarked white vans and all that sort of thing. So,
oh really?
Yeah.
So was it a bad neighborhood or
not at all? No, there was absolutely no reason to think that.
Okay,
it was not a bad neighborhood at all. That sort of thing never happened there, basically.
So, but as you look back,
Seeing news stories about
sure,
it and yeah. Like, yeah.
As you look back as an adult now, do you kind of like wish your parents had been different, or have you talked to them about
that? Yeah, we've talked. Like, you should have let me go a little bit more.
Let me go play at the park, man.
Yeah, could I ride my bike? I had a bike, but I could only run it up and down the street. Like, I couldn't turn a corner.
Sure.
So, like, yeah, it's like my mom was like, "What? You turned out so introverted." And I'm like, "Well, I never talked to anyone as a kid." Like, I spent like 18 years not talking to anyone.
Oh, that's hilarious. So you almost were encouraged to play video games then?
Yeah,
by your parents.
My parents are like, if they're playing video games, they're not agitated to get outside.
Yeah.
And try to leave, and go places. They're fine. So yeah, they spent quite a bit of the child budget on video games.
That's awesome, though. I mean, that's awesome from a playing video games perspective.
I mean, maybe thank God, because I had something to do and I enjoyed video games, so it was it's okay. And as opposed to having to just sit inside and I don't know, study the Bible,
read a book. Like,
yeah.
So you were a Sega guy, but sounds like you kind of had, you ended up getting the Super Nintendo as well. Did your gaming horizons like broaden as more and more systems were coming out?
I mean, probably not until we get to like the Xbox PlayStation era.
Mm-hmm.
I was never like, other than the old Tandy, I never really played games on PC because we didn't have a computer that could handle playing games. Like, I remember trying to buy was it Black and White, that game about being a god. I tried to buy that, and the computer simply would not run it at all. And so I had to beg them to return it because, like, I think I was like 16, and $45 was a lot of money.
Sure.
For something that doesn't work at all. Our computers were always behind the times, so all my video gaming had to be on consoles. And eventually, like, you get to, I mean, N64 was probably like the prime for me. In terms of like my friends and I would get together and we would hook up the controllers and everything and play split screen GoldenEye and Mario Kart and Mario Port and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so I remember those days very fondly, the Nintendo 64 days. And
what about Zelda? Were you playing Zelda?
So the first Zelda I ever played was Link's Awakening. I rented Link to the Past and never actually finished it as a kid. It wasn't until 2018 that I actually finished Link to the Past for the first time. I kept getting stuck. I remember Blind. Blind was something that I remembered when I replayed it. So I knew that I had gotten that far, but I don't know if I had done that without actually beating Helmasaur, because I don't know if I ever figured out the statue thing with the bow.
Sure.
I was pretty, I was young. I mean, it's still stupid, but like, there wasn't like, I didn't have an online guide to look. I was like 9.
I was the same way, man. I'm right there with you. I sucked at video games. Like, when it came to like figuring out puzzles, I love puzzles, but I sucked at figuring them out. just did not mesh well.
And I eventually did beat Ocarina of Time, although it took a long time for me to get past the last few dungeons. Water Temple obviously is infamous, but I had a lot of trouble with Shadow and Spirit Temples as well back then. At Link's Awakening was the first one I played, and I really liked that. And then Ocarina of Time I got because it was so hyped. I wasn't even that excited about it because I wasn't that big of a Zelda person. But everyone was like, "You gotta play this! You gotta play this!" Nintendo was, I had Nintendo Power at the time. They're really good about hyping up their big games. And same reason I got the first Pokemon game was all the marketing blitz that they put behind that at the time. But Yeah, so Ocarina of Time was my first, like, console Zelda, and I really enjoyed it. Although I end up getting Majora's Mask, which was quite a bit different. I enjoyed it. Not as much as Ocarina of Time, but I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy Skyward Sword, which I think was the next one, because I never had the...
But Wind Waker was the next one.
I think. And I didn't have a GameCube.
Okay.
And I didn't have the...
The Wii was next. And I think
Wii was next.
Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
And then Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Twilight Princess was all right. And Skyward Sword, I just didn't like at all. And so I thought I was going to be kind of done with the Zelda series at that point.
Sure. You talked a lot about sports games. Was that still your kind of your go-to? Or were you just kind of like a general gamer? Did you just like play different stuff?
And I became much more general. Like I would get the Madden games up to like 2010 or something like that.
Yeah.
But like I started to really branch out into big into Halo when that first came out for the Xbox. I would get more like adventure games. Like, I started to get the JRPGs with Final Fantasy VII was my first one. And then I started like playing. I would play all those. I go back and played the old ones that I never had played, like six, and even tracked it, eventually like tracked down like a translated ROM of five and stuff like that. So I would kind of went around to various genres and tried out everything, once I started to get older.
Yeah. Did you eventually get a computer game or a computer that could handle the games that you were interested in?
I did. So I worked when I graduated high school. I worked all summer at a Burger King. It was my first job, and basically all that money was just to buy a computer that I could play computer games with my friends, because they had started to get into PC gaming, and they had stuff like StarCraft and Warcraft and some random games like Tribes 2. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tribes.
Yeah, I've heard of Tribes.
We had some good times with Tribes. We'd play like Tribes 2 had like these enormous maps, and we would only play locally. We play with just like three of us, and that was mostly run around forever trying to find someone, because like I think it's meant to have more people in each game, but we weren't playing online, so but like that was the era of like carting the computer and monitors and everything over to people's houses, plugging them all in and figuring out how to connect the network and everything.
LAN parties.
Yeah.
Yep.
We had one at school. I don't know why they ever decided to do this. That it was like a Saturday night, and basically if you went, you had to stay overnight. You weren't allowed to leave until the next morning. And it was crazy that they did it. It was a fun time, because it was like you got to play with some people that normally you never go over to their house or anything like that.
Right.
But like everyone had to stay up all night, including the teachers. And I think that they were like, this is the dumbest idea we've ever had in our lives. Like, could you imagine right now you going to chaperone like 20 high school boys in a room for an entire night where you don't get to sleep?
Oh man.
Yeah. That's
sounds like hell.
It's like the worst idea that any of them ever had. But
it was awesome for you though, right?
It was great for me. I loved it. Yeah.
That's so good. So it sounds like your gaming experiences were really broad as you as you kind of got older.
I was never good. I was extremely casual. Like I was never good. I would get my ass kicked at almost every game that I played with my friends. Like I'd never been good at shooter games. Always lost to GoldenEye. The only game that I ever was like halfway decent at was the original Smash Brothers for the Nintendo 64. That was the only game that I was able to more routinely beat my friends at. Pretty much every game, I was the worst player of the friend group.
I so relate. I want to be good, but it's just like me and my friend and his girlfriend would play Mario Golf on the 64, and he would just kick my ass every single time. And I just leave so pissed off, because it's like I'd hit a good shot or something, and then he'd just do better, and I would just get so angry.
I would play Halo with my friend who like would play a bunch, and he would just snipe me, and I don't even know where he is. And he was just like sitting in this one spot and like slightly over and over again. I'm like, this is not fun. Can we do anything else? Or could you move? Because like, I'm not having any fun at all right now. Yeah. He's just laughing at me. No.
Oh, man. Where did you find then like speedrunning or like Twitch or watching people?
I mean, it was so long that I actually started playing the randomizer before I even was watching Twitch.
Oh, wow. So you weren't, like, you had no idea about speedruns or?
No, my introduction to speedruns was like eventually just kind of like stumbling into YouTube VODs of GDQ from a few years ago. Like,
okay.
And I think that like, I watched the GDQ and really like I hadn't ever really watched a speed run before. And the way that they do it on GDQ is great for someone like me who has no idea what's going on.
Right.
Because like the conceit is that everyone kind of explains what's going on while they're doing it.
Right.
And so I was like, well, this looks fun. I wonder if there's a game that I could do. Like, I know I'm bad at games, but maybe there's one that like maybe I could kind of be good at. And eventually I did find, you know, one of the Link to the Past randomizer things. I'm sure, you know, everyone has a story, but Andy Christos, and so I liked it because it was more than just being like playing a game really fast.
Yeah.
And a lot of speedruns I didn't want to do because they involve a lot of glitches, and I like glitches are great, but I don't like want to play a game where the goal is to just do some glitches and end the game, like not in the way that's kind of intended.
Right. That's
however,
like my problem with like OOT, right? Like I love OOT and it's cool watching the speedrun of it, but it's like just so full of glitches. That's like, are you even really playing the game anymore?
Right. Yeah. And so like what appealed about Link to the Past is that there were glitches, but there weren't many and they didn't like stop you from like, you still had the complete dungeons.
Yeah.
But like the mixing it up was like, it was very novel to me at the time. And I'd never seen anything like it. And so I was like, I'll try this. So this was about, I want to say October or November of 2019. This is happening.
Okay.
And I found the website where that still exists now, you know, the one where you generate the seeds from.
Right.
And I found YouTube VODs of the League. I think it might have been season 2 broadcasts.
Yeah.
And that is how I learned what to do, was by watching all of those VODs.
Wow. That
and daily races. Like seeing like, okay, this is what they do when they go into this dungeon. Like I would have like I would have a VOD from one of the games, and then as they went into like Eastern Palace, I'd see what route they took there. And when they went into like Mire, I would see what route they took where. These were all like, most of them were, you know, opens. I know that there are like different modes and everything, but I would focus on open or standard only. Mm-hmm. And like, I would only play open. But that then, so I learned Ice Palace Bomb Jump by figuring out that people did that and then looking up, I think it was a Gamer Cal video about it. So I learned that. And then so I started to actually play in probably December. And, it was fine. I had a good time, but I didn't like, it felt to me like it was an extremely solitary activity because I had no idea. Like I had no idea where the League was, how these people were getting together and playing. Sure. I didn't have Discord. I didn't have Twitch.
Yeah.
I didn't even like, I wasn't even on Reddit, but there, you know, there's a Reddit there. I was only doing these YouTube VODs where everyone had already recorded a long time ago. They were going to talk to me. the site where you generate the seed. And so I played through. I kind of wish I had some recordings of that because like I would like to see like how bad I was. Like I actually kept track of my times way back, and like all my times are, you know, I do an open seed in somewhere between 2 hours and 15 minutes or 2 hours and 45 minutes, something like that. But I did that for like 3 months and I was like, well, that was fun. I'm done now. You know, like this was a game I played by myself for like 3 months. And then I was like, okay, I've had my fill. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dropped it like right before the pandemic.
Oh, right.
Sure. And you would think like, oh, well, you might get back into it because you don't have anything to do. But that wasn't the case. I instead got really into doing Dungeons & Dragons with people online instead. It's my soul thing. actually, I started a campaign that I'm still very proud of, that the group that I've formed out of just randos is still going 3.5 years later.
That's awesome.
And I completed my first campaign by running 48 straight weeks of sessions, one session a week for 48 consecutive weeks. And basically everyone showed up every single time. We had maybe 5 players, and out of that, I think they could miss the combined 7 sessions between the 5 of them.
Wow. That's impressive.
It was amazing.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about D&D. Were you the DM for this, or were you actually?
Yeah, I was the DM. So I joined other games as a player.
I see.
And so there was actually a time where I was playing, doing it 5 nights a week.
Okay.
Because it was a pandemic, I had nothing else to do. And sure. It's too much. Like, I got burned out a little bit. But sure. But at the time, it was like, yeah, right. At the time, it was great because it's like right. I get to talk to people and I get to do something with my time because I'm stuck inside. And so, like, I had never played it online. I'd been part of a group with my real life friends that had been playing for like a year or so up to that point. But then we stopped because, you know, you couldn't get together anymore. And then mm-hmm. they didn't want to play online. And so I was like, well, I never thought I would do it online, but like, what else am I going to do right now? So mm-hmm. give it a try. And it worked out really well.
So when did you start playing? When did you first start playing D&D?
So that was, about a year before the pandemic started.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't something that you grew up with then?
No, I didn't like it. When we tried it, actually, we tried, like, I think it was Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. I tried that when I was, in my 20s, and it didn't click for me. I did enjoy it. But then my friend was putting together a group, and she was going to be the DM, and she said, well, I think that you might really like this. And I'm like, I don't know. I tried it a while ago. Didn't really like it. And she's like, well, just give it a try. So give it another try. Like, you're older. This is different. Like, it's a different version. And so I did, and ended up, yeah, really getting into it a lot. Like,
it really depends on your group, right? Like, the people that you play with. Because here's the thing, is I tried it a couple of times and with good friends, but it just didn't click. I don't know what it was, and I still haven't done it yet, but I started playing Baldur's Gate. It got me super into the world of D&D. So now I'm like, oh, I gotta try it. We gotta try it again, because I think I have a better idea of what's going on here.
It's so hard to find a good group. That, because everyone kind of, it's so cooperative, everyone needs to work together. Everyone needs to kind of be on this, like, willing to compromise a little bit, you know. Sometimes it's like, okay, what should we do? And maybe the thing you want to do isn't what the group decides, but you really need to be able to go along with it.
Or even like a group that's like more immersive, or people that are like, people have different styles of wanting to play the game, and some people are way more casual, some people are way more immersive, and I haven't really found what I am yet, but really matters.
I'm much more casual, you know, like, as the DM, I tell my players, like, we're not tracking ammunition on your bows or anything. Like, I don't care. We don't track food, because that stuff just interests me, and it just feels like tedious.
It's tedious. No, yep.
Yeah. It feels extremely tedious and boring, and it's not a very good system for doing the stuff like that. The D&D 5e. So, sure. At least in my opinion. So we don't do that stuff. And it's like, we have a very like the campaigns we do, like, there are serious moments, but we also, like, definitely have a lot of fun, and we poke fun at each other. And they make fun of my NPCs all the time. And, and they're like, sometimes they're like, I'm sorry the way we treated your NPC. And I'm like, no, that's what they're there for. Abuse them. Like, they're not real people, you know?
That's awesome. So how did you find a group to play online then?
Okay, so I just made a Reddit post. I was like, I was like, I am bored, and I would like to try to, I have never been a DM before, but would anyone like to, you know, play a game of Dungeons & Dragons, you know, like, whatever. And I had this little form for everyone to fill out, because I had heard that, like, you don't want to just accept the first 4 people that respond or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of want to get an idea of, you know, well, their desires and the game style, like, align. I mean, there's no way to know until you actually get them in the game with you. But at least I could read out some people. And I wasn't sure, like, how many responses am I really to get, like, to this, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I barely know what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah.
Do, But it turns out people are incredibly desperate for Dungeon Masters, or at least were at the time. So mm-hmm. I got 50 responses in 24 hours.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I don't even know what to do now. Like, yeah. Like, how do I weed through 50 people?
Yeah.
So I picked the five people and put them together. And it just, I mean, I think that like a lot of it was definitely luck, because like it just worked out really well. And, you know, three of them are still playing with me. We've added another person in the interim, you know, 3.5 years later.
That's awesome.
It's just like, it's so, you know, even though like we only play once every other week now because, you know, people have gotten busier, lives sure. move on, all this sort of yeah. thing. But I'm glad that we're still doing it. I hope we do it for a while still. Like, it's just it's a great thing for us to, that it, like, I've never met any of these people in person before.
Yeah.
Some of them, no. I don't even know their real names. Like,
that's awesome. That's so awesome. How did you find DMing? Because it was your first experience, and that mm-hmm. DMing can be a lot. Did
it's
you
a lot of work.
Enjoy
like,
it?
Yeah, I do. Like, it's a lot of work, but, I do enjoy getting to set things up for, and see how the players will handle things. It's mm-hmm. it's always interesting to me to see how they will try to solve the situations that I present them with in the game, because they surprise me a lot. Like, and you have to be really flexible to be to do it well, in a way that makes the players want to keep coming back. Is, you know, you might have an idea in your head about how things should be done to solve the thing. But if they come up with a super creative way to do it with the abilities that their characters have, you have to be willing to go along adapt. With it sometimes,
yeah.
you know, and mm-hmm. or and sometimes they you might prepare something and they don't want to like do it. And it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes I tell them like I only have so much time to prepare things. And if you don't do the things I prepare, we don't have a game. Like, so like there's a little yeah. bit of like. You know, if I, you know,
encouragement, like, let's call it encouragement.
Yeah. yeah. They like, if an NPC comes up and talks to them, asks them to do something, there's a lot of, you know, kind of, you know, jokes about how like, well, I guess we should do it. Otherwise we'll be sitting around doing nothing all day. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. So you stopped playing Rando and you start playing D&D. How do you then find your way back to Rando?
So eventually, I think it was the next, like, the end of 2020, I just like was randomly recommended some ALTR videos from the league again, that mm-hmm. like some of which I had watched, some were from the season 3, I think. Or maybe I'm not entirely sure whether they were on YouTube or not. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. This is fun. And I think that I started to like, I had a Twitch at that point, because you had to actually, my Twitch is my D&D Beyond account first, because okay. for whatever reason, D&D Beyond is a website that you use to create Dungeons & Dragons characters on, you know, on a website. You can take them around on your phone, or you can even use them in a online game. And for whatever reason, the way that they have you create an account there is it's Twitch. It's a Twitch account. That just get a token or something. I'm not sure. So I had a Twitch account through that. So okay. I think I was just starting to do some like Twitch viewing. I'd use it to watch GDQs live. And I did like, so I decided to do a little bit more investigation into ALTPR and actually finally found the main Discord and joined that. And I found out that you can make your own sprite. And I have to say, as weird as it sounds, that's probably the reason I started to play again, is that really? I could make my own sprite and play as my sprite.
Okay, so
like that was part of the appeal.
Which sprite did you make?
It's just my Dungeons & Dragons character.
Oh, okay. Custom.
At the time, but the one I was playing at the time, yeah.
Okay, I see.
And, you know, I can't explain.
Are you still using it?
I am, yeah. I've never stopped. I can't explain why that appealed to me, but it did. And so I started playing again, and I decided that, so I found like, the ladder, I found, maybe a couple other Discords.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked it back up. It was, you know, basically still really bad.
right.
And I was, like played it for a couple of months, and I was like, all right, let's join the ladder. Let's see where we're at competitive wise.
Sure.
And this was maybe February of 2021, I think.
Okay.
I went 1-10 in my first 11 ladder races.
Sure.
Really, I was like, oh, I'm not good.
But this is your first time racing, right?
Yes,
like you've never raced at all.
Like, I had to spend God knows how much time trying to figure out how to make OBS work. Like, cause I didn't know anything about what
right.
I was doing.
Right.
So I, you know, doing that. And, it's funny that, one of the second person I played in the ladder that beat me by like half an hour is, my current league teammate, Mindium.
Okay.
Mindium is like the first person that I really kind of got to know in the community. Based on the fact that he would beat me in the ladder over and over again when I was just starting out.
It's a great way to make friends, though.
Yeah, it is. Like, hey, good job. And so, you know, so around that time is when the 2021, you know, main tournament is firing up, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, 128 people make this. How hard could it be? Like, I'm not good, but like, are there even 128 people that play this game? Yes, there is. Yeah. Right. I finished like maybe 250th in the qualifying. Sure. Like it was pretty like bad. However, I do think that like it made me a little bit of a better player because it was the standard hard setting that year.
Oh, okay.
And to do it, it forced me to learn Silver Hills Ganon because I hadn't done that. Every time I'd played before, I would need to find the silver arrows to actually win the game. So I did that. And so I was doing more ladder. I did Challenge Cup and was, you know, washed out of that really quickly. And I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm really bad and I don't know how to get better. Like, not really. Like, I can get a little bit better by watching, you know, the VODs of people who beat me in the ladder. But like, you know, I had no idea why I was losing. Cause I'd never been a speedrunner. I'd never played games competitively. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. And, you know, it turns out it was that my movement was bad and mostly, and which of course, but like I had no idea. So just, I just felt bad. Like I just felt bad about it. Like, and so then I heard about the mentor tournament that the GOMO podcast runs. And that was when I was like, okay, I want to, well, let's see. Like, well, I don't know if doing this gives me a lot of anxiety because I still hadn't really ever talked to hardly anyone in the community. Mm. Like I've been around for playing in ladder and the tournaments for, like maybe 4 or 5 months at that point. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anyone. Cause I don't talk to, you know, anyone, sure. Put myself out there at all. So I joined it not knowing like it was going to be a good decision or not. And I was kind of like on the fence about whether I should do that or just stop playing Rando again. If it's just not going to work out. But I'm glad that I did because it's definitely the only reason I'm still playing. Those are the experience friends, that I had.
Yeah, right?
made friends.
Yeah.
And made friends for sure, which is the big one, but also learned not only like, you know, things to get better, but like how to get better, which was the really big important thing that I needed to know so that I could learn on my own as well. Like,
sure.
Like I had Orange and Vortex of Doom both did mentors sessions with me and, you know, spent some time outside of the races to teach me some things and everything and talk to me about the game. But Walter definitely deserves a lot of the credit because he mentored me 4 times during the tournament. He spent a lot of time doing random races and stuff after. He just gave a lot of his time to teach me about this game. And I was kind of like, I can't believe people do this. Like, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
I think you had a really good experience with the mentor.
Had a really good experience. Would, you know, if it's one of those things where if anyone is like wondering if they're, you know, they should do it and they're not like good at the game, like it's a way to learn how to get better. Like it's not going to make you a great player immediately. But the people that do it because they want to see the other newer players succeed.
Yeah.
And eventually beat them. And well, maybe not that, but you know, become, you know, more, you know, permanent members of the community. And you know, so many of them, they're going to be able to teach you the way that you can get better. And so I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. You end up joining the league then that year too, right?
Yeah So Mr. Aaron Snerd was one of the other mentees of Walter's that year, and so we had kind of talked a little bit. He beat me 1 week in the mentor tournament, and he ended up I think he was the runner up that year. But I asked him if he wanted to be on a team, because I didn't know anyone else that I could ask. Like, if he had said no, I don't think I would have been in the league. Mm. I didn't know who else I would have possibly asked. But yeah. He was forming a team with Vexiver, and they decided to add me as the third. We were the Rando Babies, and we actually made the playoffs our first year. Definitely not going to beat JKLL that year.
Sure.
It was that was my first time really having any sort of success in Rando, competitively was doing that.
Also, co-op, right? Like, was that your first experience?
Yes.
Playing co-op modes?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the first time doing any co-op doing this. So and I was like, wow, this is fun. Like, I enjoy doing this. This is a fun way to do it. Like,
sure.
And really the first time, like, joining random Discord calls and playing with people, too. Like, I had never I had never done that before. But
you started to find a community, right?
Like, yeah. They had been invited to the 40 box. They invited me. So I started playing with those folks. They were, also like people like Jesse and Kaysden and Flip Heel were teaching me more about the game. And we were doing after league, I think we, did some NMG stuff. I started to really like actually maybe be part of the community. It took almost a year, but
yeah. So you go 3-3 that year, you have a really good year, and you got, like you're saying, you're really improving. Things are going well. Next season, you jump ship, though. What happens? You get kicked out? Or did you try to find a new team? Or how did
I got kicked out. They wanted to... Vex and Aaron had been hanging out with John Snew a lot. I wanted to play with him. And
I see.
I was like, all right. So I formed a team with W Garrison and CJ. We did pretty well. We got one game away from making Invitational.
Huge improvement, dude. You went 8-2 that year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did something I didn't expect to do before that, which was I qualified for the main tournament in 2022.
Okay.
That was really a surprise to me. I did not think that was going to happen. And then I went 3-3 in the main tournament in the group stage, which I went 1-1 against all three of my opponents. I was like, I couldn't have been more 500.
I mean, that's not bad. The main tournament's super tough.
No, I mean, it was way better. I didn't even expect to qualify and then to go 3-3. I was like, that, that's great. Like for where I'm at, like, and what I think about my level of play.
Yeah. So it felt like your improvement was a pretty rapid improvement. Like, you were climbing the mountain pretty quickly.
I think that my biggest jump in improvement happened between like the league and that tournament, that period of time. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else, I think, has been more incremental. But sure. Like, there's this big like jump in competitiveness that even I hadn't realized existed until I did that, the main tournament thing, and held my own there. And I was like, oh, maybe I can do this,
Mm-hmm. Kabuki Hundo?
Kabuki Hundo Activist Department.
How did that happen? How did you, CJ, and Garrison get hooked up? In the Discord?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing stuff in the 40 Box Discord for quite over a year at that point. Garrison needed a team, a team, and he asked if I wanted to join him, and I was like, sure, I'll do that. And then we're trying to find a third person, and CJ had been on some other teams before, but he was available. Hadn't really been playing too much, but he enjoyed the co-op aspects of it. So he joined us, the third person for the team. Again, we had a good time. We did pretty well, and almost made Invitational that year.
Yeah. How was that feeling then? You were a game away from the Invitational, the automatic invite. Was there disappointment, or was there just like, man, we kicked ass this year?
I mean, it was like, there's a little bit of disappointment, because it was like, we came so close that we could have done it. But at the same time, it was like, I mean, we're probably like happy with how it went. And it was, we just, had a good time. I enjoyed the co-op weeks with both Garrison and CJ. And we played a lot of practice stuff on the side, and so I think it was just a fun season, and I don't want to let the, you know, the way that that ended diminish what the a good time we had.
Right. Like that. Yeah, you know? Totally.
Like, sure, you're disappointed, but at the same time, it's like, it's okay. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's not like we're not like getting booted from the league or anything. Right. Like, we'll still be in open league next year. So.
Right. And like, you know, it's so easy to forget, like, got to enjoy the journey, right? It's not always about the destination, and the journey can be the best part of it.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, I would like to make Invitational, but the fact that I didn't is okay, because I know that like, I'm not one of the like best of the best runners or anything. Like, I never felt like I deserve to be an Invitational. Mm. And the fact that I didn't make it is a travesty or anything. I didn't feel like that at all. So it was like, this is fine. I probably should be an opener still anyway. So let's, we'll just do that. We'll see what happens next year.
A game away means you're probably pretty close competing with the Invitational. And then speaking of season 6, you guys come back, CJ's gone. You bring in Mind EM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You qualified, dude.
Yeah. I actually asked if Mind EM wanted to be on the team with me last year. And he said no. didn't play last year's All league. Right. But this year he decided that he was okay with joining. He'd done some stuff with Garrison as well. So we played together. And it was just kind of like, let's see what happens. Like, I think that we went in thinking like there's a decent chance we could do it this year. Like, mm-hmm. we've improved a little bit. There's a lot of good teams, though. Like, I feel like this year Open League had an extremely lengthy roster of good players and teams.
I mean, the Invitational was stacked, and then because the Invitational is so stacked means that there's not enough room for all the good players. Mm-hmm. So there are a ton of good players in the Open. Yeah,
there are teams in Open League where it's like, if the Invitational hadn't had like so many returning teams, and then, you know, some more teams that joined, these teams should have been Invitational teams.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so we were like, okay, so maybe we can do it, but like, the path is very hard. Like, there's no guarantees that we could be really good and would still not make the Invitational. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we tried to have that sort of expectation in our minds, and so that we didn't like get too like focused on making Invitational and just having fun with the season as it was going along. And I think we succeeded at that. Like,
I would say so. I mean, dude, you went 11-0. So far. I mean, I don't want to jinx it. You guys are still in the playoffs. You've got some more races to do, but 11-0, dude. That's not something I would
ever imagine it would have happened. Honestly, like, I mean, no, there's a bit of luck involved in going 11-0 in rando. I mean, I played some really strong opponents all year, and I just felt like, I mean, 8 of them were co-op games. Like, so, sure. You know, that's, like, my teammates
matter. Don't matter. Yeah, that's part of it.
My teammates are also, you know, they're good at this game, and they, you know, we had a lot. I think we had really good chemistry and rapport. We play together very well. Like, we played so much together. Like, we practiced a lot, like, or just goofed around and played a lot. Like, and we kind of got used to the way that each of us plays. You know, my DM's joke that like, I'm going to be aggressive in Rush Dungeon, so he has to do all the cleanup in the overworld because like, I'm never going to catfish.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I got to go to catfish. You're never going to do it. I'm like, yeah, that's true. You know, true. So, you know, and Garrison and I were playing a lot of co-op retreads together and trying to figure out the best way to handle that. But yeah, it's like, you know, I was thinking about it as we got into the playoffs and being like, I haven't lost and I, you know, need to make sure I don't. Like,
right. Yeah. It's, I mean, now in the playoffs being best of three, you have less margin of error, right?
Yeah. Like, it's really like, it's tough. You have to win 2 out of 3 and you lose one. And like, you lose, like, if you lose the first one, you're like, oh, great. Now we got to win two in a row, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And then like the modes, you're like, you're playing both, you know, both the rounds that we won, we played, you know, co-op Animizer for game 3s. And it's like, mm-hmm. what a mode to have to play when you're like, you know,
playing for your life,
playing for your life and like a little bit stressed. And it's like, there's like, you know, some stupid Lionel in the, you know, in the entrance right. of Eastern or something like, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you talked about how you were never competitive or, and you were always kind of like the worst growing up playing with your friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning isn't everything, but it definitely helps. Right. Like, so is there some validation? Is there a different feeling that you have now that, I mean, 11-0 is not, sure, it takes a little bit of luck, but you got to be good. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fake 11-0.
I have to acknowledge that you don't go 11-0 by being lucky only.
You have to. You cannot 11-0 luck. Like, and your team is qualified for the Invitational. You're still playing for the championship of the Open League. Like, you play. Does it change things? Does it change things for you and how you feel about yourself even?
I mean, I think it does. It, like, in terms of, I have to admit that I might be kind of okay at the game.
Sure. You never fully admit that you're good.
No, but, it's so hard. It's so hard. But it's like, I can't say that I'm bad because it's disrespectful to everyone that I play. You know? you don't want to win and then go like, well, I'm terrible. I mean, I don't know how you didn't win.
Yep.
So, you know, it's been difficult because it's a situation that I'm not really used to. Like, I am not used to winning a lot. I am not used to doing something like this achievement in making Invitational or qualifying for the main tournament a couple of years in a row. Like, these are things that, like, I don't do. I don't do this.
Well, and, let me tell you, dude, you do now.
Yeah.
You do now. Yeah.
And so, like, just like, I mean, it feels good. Like, it feels good to be doing this sort of thing. And it feels like, you know, I have put actual like effort into this. And, you know, this is not an accident of just me just randomly showing up and being good. Like, I have played this game more than is healthy over the past sure. 3 years. And, sure. you know, I would never recommend that people do what I did to play this much of this of the single game. But, like, it does mean that, like, I did achieve something with it. And, you know, in terms of, like, I'm never going to be the absolute best. I don't think I have the drive to get to that level. And I'm fine with that. Like, I understand that. And so I'm not going to be upset that I never do that.
But you're in a spot where you go into a race and you can be competitive with anyone. I feel like,
I think that's true. And like, I think I'm going to be an underdog against quite a few people, but I'm going to be favored against quite a few people. And I am happy with where I am. I don't like, I still want to get better, but I don't feel like I need to feel good about what I can do in this game and to feel good about playing it. So, like, I like the place I'm in. And I mean, like, I was, you know, I've had people like tell me that they want to play me because they're like, you're really good and I want to see if I can beat you. And I'm like, who am I? Who is this person that people are talking to? Like, this is not like, I'm the one who says that to people, you know? Like,
Oh man, that's too good, man. Oh man, dude, your story is awesome. I relate to it on so many different levels. Just the whole idea of like, who am I? It's like, I'm constantly asking myself of like, why would anybody even care to listen to, you know, the podcast or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I totally get that. I'm right there with you. So
I'm wondering, like, is anyone listening to this episode? Is this going to be like the lowest rated episode of the podcast?
Of course. it's all the time you had to spend by yourself, man.
Yeah, I know.
Gotta have your parents on. All right, so you talked a little bit about getting tilted when you were a kid. Does it still happen? Tilt? How do you handle it when it does happen?
Yeah, so it does happen. So I had a lot more when I was first started playing. I didn't understand why I was bad. And I have just kind of been like, you know, okay, you know, it's just a game. Don't get mad. And actually getting better at the game has really helped me. Is that I, you know, if I lose, I feel like I you know, it's rando or they were better or they just, you know, I was bad. They outplayed me. Like, I can get tilted during a game when I do something wrong. Like, that's the way that I get tilted, is if I play bad or make a stupid mistake, and I have to, you know, try to move on from that.
You're able to,
I think in most cases, yes.
Yeah.
After some time I could put it aside. It'll still be in the back of my mind throughout, throughout the rest of the race. But I've also learned that, like, there are times where I feel like I've made a crucial error that has cost me the race about, you know, 30 minutes in. And I'm like, well, why am I even doing the rest of this? Like, I've already lost. And then I end up winning anyway. And I'm like, okay, well, that was a dumb thing to think. And so, you know, I've done that enough times where I'm like, okay, so I know that sometimes it is like a super costly loss that will cost me the game, but sometimes it's not. And so as long as it's still going, you have to keep putting your best effort forward. And then if you do lose, then you can go like, oh yeah, because it was because I did the stupid thing. You know, like, while you're in the middle of the race, it doesn't help anything to just lose your mind and just give up. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that I have to keep telling myself. And it's a work in progress, always. But in terms of like losing, I definitely try really hard to not let whatever feelings I have affect my interaction with my opponent, even if I don't always succeed. But I really do, like, I don't want to, like, because no one likes it when they're chatting with you in the race room and you are
an asshole.
And yeah, if you're like saying that you can get mad and like you can say things like, well, I did this wrong and it really sucks that I did that. And I feel bad. Like,
but right, I can't now, believe you beat me.
Sort of thing is too far, you know. I think like saying like I shouldn't lose to you is something you should just never say to anyone, because I mean, for one thing, it's rando and you are going to lose some matches that people that, you know, might not be as good as you execution wise but that's rando. I mean,
that's kind of why we play the game though,
right? That's why, like, we play, it's interesting in the fact that, like, you don't know who's going to win. Like, it's like watching sports. If you know if you really want to find out who's you know, if you want the best person to win almost all the time, you just watch NMG races. And if you want to, you know, but the reason why I do rando is because it's much more interesting, but it's also, there's a lot more variance. And so these sorts of wins and losses are going to happen.
Totally. I think as a sports fan, we can kind of relate a little bit, right? Like, not always the best team wins the Super Bowl or the World Series or national championship, right?
It's very much like, I think, I mean, I know that the main tournament often has, like, you know, best of three instead, but it still feels a lot like the NCAA basketball tournament, where usually the team that wins is a pretty good team, not necessarily the best, but like, there are upsets all over the place, and it's because it's variance, and teams are not as good, but they're not like, you know, trash. Like, they could play. Like, they've got players. And so it's just like, this rando has so many, like, the skill ceiling is so high in rando, but everyone has become very good at raising the skill floor of everyone to a level where they can become dangerous to people pretty quickly. Like, you see people come out of mentor tournaments or having just played the game for a few months, and all of a sudden they're, you know, competing well in ladder or race time rooms or even tournaments. It's just, you can't, like, and if you play this enough, I mean, it's so, like, I know it could be, I know you've talked about your struggles with it and everything, but it's something you have to kind of be able to fight through, right? Like, if you're going to play this game a lot, and you're going to lose a lot, so you better figure out some way to deal with it.
Totally. Well, hopefully the Huskies don't lose on Monday, dude. That's the only thing that I'm asking for. Just give me one more win. More win against that stupid Jim Harbaugh. I cannot stand that team so much.
I kind of like the whole Michigan, like the Michigan man thing. Like, they're let's just say, like, that I have teams I like more than Michigan.
All right, man. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I was very happy to get to do this.
All right, huge shout out to North Maddie for coming on the show. I had a blast. Could relate to him on so many different levels. You know, it was really cool also talking to someone from the Pacific Northwest, and you know, having those common rooting teams and interests is always fun. And so, North Man is just a good dude, and I like really enjoy hanging and talking with him. It was fun hanging out with him at SGL when we did get to hang out. Speaking of, there's a lot of SGL conversation in the Discord this last week. Again, I want to encourage everyone, if you can go, please go. It is so much fun, and the staff there does an awesome job. don't let what I talked about last week put any hesitation into your thoughts of going. I would 100% say it's worth going at least once. So put that to rest. All right. Next week on the show, we'll have Mr. Angry Pants, who is also someone that I met at SGL and had some really good conversations with him and his girlfriend. And yeah, it was a lot of fun meeting him in real life, and excited to talk to him and bring that to you next time. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. 216pod.com has links to the Discord. Join that. We're talking about NFL playoffs. We're talking about college football playoffs, hockey, basketball is like in full swing. So the 216 tournament is also being held all on that Discord. So if you want to see who's racing and when, check out the events tab. It has all the races from the week, and it's got links to the multi-streams, so you can watch them all. Really appreciate everyone hanging out and listening to the show. We'll be back next time with Mr. Angry Pants. See you then.